Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
How are you, Bruce? Happy Monday to you, to our listeners. It's another beautiful one, finally, here out in California. We've been getting hit with just a monsoon of rain out here. It's been absolutely wild. But it's good to be on here today.
Same here. It's been wet, but it's drying up and not too cold out here. Well, it's going to be. Anyway, but it could be worse. But a little chilly out here, a little dreary, partly cloudy here in the DFW Metroplex. But we're treading water. We're above the water line, so that's a victory nonetheless. So last week was a big week, at least for both of us, it seems. Not Valentine's Day per se, because that's always awesome, a good holiday that's important to not Justin and I, but many people on the earth. But something else happened last week is Justin and I both had birthdays, didn't we?
Hey, we did. And as we found out, we not only had birthdays, but we had birthdays on the same day.
And somehow that demographic or factoid had missed us after all these years. And until I saw something on social media going, what? So then I back channeled you and you're like, oh, what were you thinking once I pinged you? Were you thinking, oh, okay.
I honestly thought you were fucking with me at first. I was like.
I thought so too, thinking, wait a minute, but no, not really intentionally, because yours was a broadbanded announcement there. And so anyway, that was just another fun fact that I think we're probably the only co-host in history that were like, really, your birthday? Figure that out as we go here on the Concierge Coaches Show. But anyway, so hopefully you had a good birthday.
Yeah, you know, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. I didn't have, per se, didn't celebrate on the birthday. I was actually in Atlanta at a conference, which I'll share about a little bit here, you know, today with the listeners. But celebrated back over the weekend. The other half and I, Naomi, we went down to Laguna for a couple of days. So, you know, it's not far from us. It's not like we even had to, but it was just a little staycation down in Laguna to celebrate both the birthday and Valentine's Day. So that was really nice. Unfortunately, like I said, the weather was not cooperating with, but it was a good time. There are little tip to the coaches. Make sure you take time to be present with your loved ones, especially if they're your other half. It's very, very important, especially in the world that we live in. You know, we're in such a connected world. It was actually kind of beautiful. The place we were staying, we did have Wi-Fi, but our cell reception sucked. You know, it was pretty much non-existent. So we're kind of off the grid a little bit, which was kind of nice. So, like I said, you know, make sure you take those moments to really reconnect and be present, even if it's just over dinner for the evening. We live in such a fast-paced society. Those moments are beautiful. It's something I've adopted years ago, that I tend to not do something really, you know, large for my birthday in terms of the pay lots of people around. I actually do kind of the opposite, you know, small. And how about?
Well, good. It sounds like you had a good time there at Laguna.
What did you end up doing for yours?
Stuck around. Yeah, I was in. Yeah, just stuck around town and hung out with family and just very, very low key. Very low key. Worked a little bit on my day, but not but not too much. And other than that, but later on, you'll find this kind of funny. I was going through some Facebook posts, and I think one of them was yours, and it just happened to be the one with you were at the beach, and so, who's that dude without his shirt? I'm like, that's Justin, and she's accusing me of a same-sex attraction. I'm like, no, I just happen to be on. So it was the double hit. It's the double hit for Bruce Cameron. Like, so it's his birthday, but you didn't know it was his birthday. I did not know it was his birthday. And then here he is with the shirt off. Like, look, dude, it's just a bad collision of serendipitous. So
it's okay to have a little friendly attraction, Bruce. I'm getting my
tail handed to me here. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, no, man, it's Justin, you know, my co-host. Like, oh, what's he doing? Well, he's at the beach with his, you know, fiance and whatnot. And oh, okay. Well, why is it, you know, I'm sure she took the picture. So it's fine. I'm going to have to just completely crawfish on this deal. And, I would have been better looking up some of the ladies in Dallas with the boob jobs and the fake hair. I probably would have gotten, I don't know. It's either Justin without a shirt on or it's the other. I can't win on social media, but, anyway, just kidding, folks. So if you are lucky enough to be a friend of his on Facebook, if you do your diligence, you may find the beach picture. But it's very appropriate. No worries there. So
it's just a shirt off. There's nothing below the equator nudity or anything like that.
It's kind of a kind of a cleaner junior version of Aquaman, wouldn't you say? Just kidding. There's no tattoo.
Too kind.
Yeah, too kind. God's a freak of nature, right? All these soccer moms with their Aquaman memes on their anyway, that's another show. Back to business. So it was a good birthday for both of us, sounds like. And then I stayed in town all week and just did the usual clients and work, nothing exciting, but you, sir, did something exciting. Tell us about your trip to Atlanta and some of the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, so I, first of all, it was a quick trip, but a productive trip. I call them a turnaround trip where you got to go from the West Coast to the East Coast in a day. It's a lot of flying and, you know, you're busy, but I went to the Georgia Marketing Summit. It was at the Ritz downtown, which was a beautiful venue, by the way. You go to any Ritz hotel, they're all great, but this one was a nice one. And I'm pretty sure by the end of the day, there was some professional athletes and stuff that were, you know, checking in there, and who knows what or who they were meeting up with. probably not dissimilar to the, what's the one in Uptown that all the football players go to, Bruce, the Zaza, Zaza Hotel.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was a conference that was really designed to help. So target audience, you know, was CMOs and brand marketers and creative directors from companies. And it was a lot of companies that were headquartered in around the Atlanta area, right? So think of Coca-Cola, right? Think of Church's Chicken. You know, you think about Augusta National, which is, you know, not far from Atlanta there in the area where they host the Masters every year. They were there. And several other brands, you know, think about your big name and smaller name brands that are there in the area. You know, they had six. What I liked about it was a great format. You know, so starting at around 8, They served sort of, you know, your typical continental breakfast and built in an hour of networking in the morning. So get you warmed up, hey, get your juices flowing, meeting and greeting people. And there was probably, let's call it 150, 200 people there. So not too many people, but enough to make it a productive day if you were going there for networking, which was primarily why I was going there. And then they kicked it off with three back-to-back panels. So each of the panels had anywhere from, I don't know, 4 to 8 people on them, all with expert advice on, you know, anything from story marketing to social media marketing and everything in between. And so what I found really valuable is there's this new trend, you know, I don't even know if I'd call it a trend, just a wave happening right now with we'll call it a story arc. Being able to design and tell your story, your brand story, through all your marketing activities. And really focusing on that. Not so much the activity level anymore. And even companies and brands are going away from sort of your celebrity and influencers. They're moving a little bit away from that level of marketing. They're moving more into to you know, what's our story arc? What's the story that we're trying to share? And by audience, by the way. And then they talked a lot about like all the big data analytics that they're using. And by the way, tracking with a lot of our social media engines that we're opting into, by the way, Facebook, you know, most notably, to spit out, you know, algorithms and all kinds of adapted marketing, which was also obviously kind of eye-opening. So I learned a ton. I mean, I learned a ton of techniques that, you know, some of which I'll be implementing here in the coming weeks and months, some of which are probably, you know, beyond my pay grade, but all of which were just valuable insight. Because if you think about, you know, again, we've had, like I know the gentleman that was a Snapchat, you know, expert, right? There's all these microcosms of, you know, marketing out there. But right now, you know, if you're a brand, if you're truly a brand, you're tying that all together and you're able to tell a cohesive story with it. And they also talked about how it's no longer about seasonal like campaigns. So it used to be, you know, if you were Nike, you would do a seasonal shoot or seasonal campaign. They're doing a lot of user generated marketing now, right? So if you're part of the fan audience, they're going to leverage you to get the content they need. Because what better way to get the content they need than from their ideal raving fans? So just, like I said, fantastic content. Learned a ton. Met some really cool people. Mostly, you know, on the marketing side. Made some valuable connections. And, you know, used that as a nice touch point, you know, for the Vablet brand. I was obviously there supporting and kind of networking on behalf of Vablet. For the most part, you know, there for Monday, Tuesday of last week.
Man, this is so good, because I know as part of coaching and coaching school and coach training, you know, we have the kind of old school, let's say as a coach, your coaching is your brand, you are your brand and this and that, you know, and I'm thinking of that whole story, you know, story arc and all that, and kind of how that for coaches or people who have a service line business, how that could work. If you don't mind, I mean, this is just for my own edification. So talk more about that story arc thingy. What's it called again? What's the
story? The story arc, right?
Talk about what that is, or at least the structure of it. I'm fascinated.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about it. If you're reading a good story, right? There's probably, you know, your hook, right? To kind of get you drawn into the story, to get you into that chapter, right? Or the story itself. And then you start to develop the characters, right? You start to develop the storyline, the characters, and all the adjacencies that are related to that story arc that are going to keep you captivated, keep you engaged. And then obviously you have kind of the meat in the middle leading up to the climax, right, of the story, as they say. It could be a cliffhanger, it could be whatever. And then you have your, you know, ending, or in your case of a properly done story arc, it'll be a continuation into the next story. So that's why you see a lot of these companies, like I'll give you one very specific example, which is Salesforce. And this one was referenced at the Atlanta one, but you know, obviously isn't an Atlanta brand. Salesforce has developed all these like anime characters, you know, Einstein and the bear and you know, the whale, and they're all these anime characters, cartoon type characters that they're now using in all their social media marketing productions, right? So if you've kind of at the beginning line, you know, you followed some of their early on stories, you've become kind of attached to these characters, right? These characters have some sort of meaning to you, right? So anything that they're doing, they're embedding these characters in their storylines, and they're developing this intrinsic story arc for any of the media that they're out there producing, right? Whether it's a, you know, trailer for their next event or their next big launch or whatever, they'll weave in those characters to that storyline, right? So you're seeing a lot of brands now start to do that, right? Whether it's embedding some fundamental characters into their storyline, or they're at least trying to tell the story. Imagine as if you were a reader, right, reading it, you know, from a book, but instead you're now seeing it developed through social media marketing. Wow, how powerful is that, right? It's not just supposed to be about grabbing someone's attention. It's about, if you're going to do a minute-long video, do a minute-long story that keeps someone hooked and tells a story and maybe has a message, maybe has a motivational message at the end of it. And that's what you're seeing with a lot of these companies. And actually, Bruce, we could go back even to the Super Bowl, right? A couple of weeks. If you looked at some of that marketing, it was similar, right? I think we both are kind of laughing that we didn't see a lot of the old school beer commercials, right? Which, you know, was for a variety of reasons. Like, obviously, Budweiser and your new acquisition, you know, by a German held company now, you know, they have their own philosophy of marketing. So moving away from that, but the other part of that is that this is the new wave, right? Which is, you know, if you are a beer company, you're going to market it in a different way. And if you're another company, like some of my favorite ones were the T-Mobile ones, or even the Verizon one, you know, that had some sort of meaning at the end of it, right? It was a mission. It was the first responder one specifically, which I know we talked about. So just keep your eyes peeled, folks, you know, for what you're seeing, not only through TV commercials, which I know no one really watches anymore because no one has TV, but in particular on social media. And you'll find a very clear and distinct delineation point between those who are marketing in the old way, i.e. flashy, grabby, hey, just kind of funny humor. Funny humor is cool, but even if it's funny humor, it might have a story arc to it now, and you'll be able to watch it develop. And ask yourself, you know, for your own brands, for those of you that are developing your own brands, what's a 1 minute, you know, trailer video or you know, launch video or relaunch video that you could develop for yourself that tells a story?
Wow. So that is interesting. So the idea is that the consumer has more, a different kind of connection to the brand by use of the story. So if the consumer can connect onto like a first responder thing or a cute character, or what have you, that becomes part of the, you know, part of the strategy. And so I assume you have flexibility in the story, right? Like one ad could tell part of the story and then kind of, leave the person hanging, and then, you know, the story kind of continues with the next, if it's a series of ads, or, I mean, or is it everything has to have a complete story, beginning, middle, end? And even though there can be transition points to the next story, I mean, are there any hard and fast rules there?
No, not so much, but I'll tell you what, I guess one that I, another, you know, pointer there is, you know, so it's also about moving away from selling products, right? So by telling a story, you're by definition, you're maybe telling the brand story. You're not really selling the product. So a lot of companies understand that the internet is abundant with information and people can find what they need to find. It's about staying top of mind as a brand, right? And that's the greatest challenge of today, staying top of mind as a brand, as an entity. So the days of, hey, point, click, and shoot, and sell your new hot, you know, Red Bull, you know, drink because it'll make you have wings. Well, you know, if that doesn't tell a story that can connect to the consumers, and especially since consumers are so much more educated on ingredients and whatnot nowadays, well, then guess what? Consumers aren't going to buy it. They're not. Now, if you tell a story to back it up about how, you know, part of the proceeds goes to, of the profits goes to helping, you know, third world countries or villages, you know, rebuild villages in third world countries. And that maybe is actually core and focal to your story. That's more resonant with consumers these days. And by and large, I'm talking about the millennial brand, by the way, which I know you're going to hate to hear, but the purchasing power is beginning to shift. And the millennial generation, by and large, connects through mission. Right?
Well, and it's the millennials in their, just by virtue of their age and stage development, they're in the wealth acquisition, career building phase of their lives right now, right? mid late 20s to mid 30s now or something, right? I mean, you guys, because you're one of them, you know, are in the throes of that. And so I think that makes good sense, where boomers like me were focused on retirement accounts and, okay, how are we going to finish this deal out, you know, and we're not so much on the march, you know, with being super creative. And, you know, for those of us that have businesses, it's easier to be sedentary or relax on our word of mouth, our presence that we've had in the market for years and years, and just kind of go from there. So so anyway, so yeah, I think you're onto something there, and that's fascinating. Is there a fancy term for some of these commercials that have almost like whiteboard? They're like whiteboard comics, and or that's just another way of conveying a message. I've seen some of these interesting, particularly on social media. I've seen some interesting kind of animated comic strips convey messages.
I wasn't familiar, or we didn't certainly go over that in the conference. So
But y'all went through the story, but like, can you imagine working for an ad agency now, or if there is such a thing, right? To be a storyboarding expert and really, God, if you're in PR and advertising now, man, you really got to be on top of your game to and be creative to, you know what I mean, harness what the product or service is and bring that to the people in a story like that.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you along the lines of storyboarding. So, you know, at Vablet, we talk about like storyboarding our demo experience, by the way, right? So what kind of story do you want to express, or, you know, do you want to be gleaned from the demo experience? So, you know, at the ad agency level, they're talking about that. And along that same vein, I would say the other big takeaway was not only the story arc, but was also the buyer's journey, right? So Long, it's along a similar vein, but it's it was more website based, right? So it's saying, hey, if someone then takes an ad, let's say, that has the storyline, and they say, okay, I'm gonna now take action. What is their buyer's journey on your website? So when they land on your website, what's the first impression they get? Obviously, then once they have that first impression, where are they gonna go? It's like a scavenger hunt now, right? So where are they going to go next and why? And a good website, a great website, should be able to predictively guide a consumer through the website on that buyer's journey to the action that you hope they would take, i.e. schedule a demo or set up a consultation or whatever it might be. That was really, again, eye-opening for me. It's like, you know, is my website, you know, linking on the same buyer's journey? And luckily I actually had someone that helped with that piece of it. So I know it does. And maybe it could be better. You know, it can always be better. But that's why, for example, I have questionnaires on mine, right? It's because that's part of the buyer's journey. If you don't have someone that's willing to invest in a questionnaire and a coaching website, then they're probably not a legitimate prospect. They're not probably not a legitimate, you know, potential client. As an example, so let's filter them out. But that's sort of what they're talking about. You think about these bigger brands, they've got a lot of information on there. How do you, someone that's landed on your website with a lot of information on there, to the correct place on a website too? That was also a fascinating discussion. They had the lady from creative director from Coke on there talking about that. You know, Coca-Cola obviously manages tons of brands,
right?
So you're managing different brands, you're managing different assets, and obviously that buyer's journey is a little bit more complex. So that was also fascinating. Yeah, you know, one day conference last week, I'll tell you that much. I walked away with a wealth of knowledge for sure.
Wow, so interesting, you know, to hear some of those cutting edge techniques, you know, and just a different mindset. You know, let me ask you this, with let's say with Bablet, for instance, can somebody kind of go on the website, buyer's experience through your website, and actually procure it? Or is Bablet something that has to have a live person? You got to set up a consultation, the person comes out to your business and does their thing, or can it be two channel like that, or is it I'm just for the buying experience?
Yeah. So relating it to Valid, I was like, you know, we should be and will be restructuring our website accordingly, because right now our buyer's journey necessitates human intervention.
Uh-huh.
Which part of that's good. So, you know, you think about your enterprise level deals, let's call them, which are in the software as a service space, you know, 100 or even 1,000 seats plus, you definitely want a live person to talk to someone. But if you're a smaller business, is that going to turn you off, right?
Right.
You just want to download it and try it out. And right. If you prevent me from doing that, is that going to turn me off? See, if I'm a large business, that would worry me. But if I'm a small business, is that really a positive thing, or is that a turnoff? And that was the question I kept asking myself leaving the conference. And I'm like, you know, we should make it, you know, multi-channel, as you call it, right?
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, all the website stuff, you know, predated me, whether that matters or not. But, you know, I've been part of the process of, I would say, transforming things, not necessarily building everything, building the sales team from ground up, but the marketing piece of it has been a bit of a journey for sure for us. And we've done a great job, I think, rebranding ourselves on social media, or even branding ourselves, I should say, on social media, which was non-existent before. You look, we actually have an Instagram page now. You know, it was funny because the co-founders were laughing at it initially, like, why Instagram? And we only have a couple hundred followers, if that, but the content's so quality on there that has become a nice content repository for us for social media marketing that we can then distribute across different channels. As well as obviously, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn primarily, because that's the business platform. So,
right.
Yeah, to answer your question, yeah, there's definitely going to be some retooling going on from a VABA perspective in the coming months.
That is one good thing about Instagram that I love, is that it's a quick repository of images that can reflect the brand or whatever. Facebook pages have those images. You can load them on, but it's cumbersome. Either you have to go to photos or you have to go through the timeline, you know, and see what the Facebook page has put on there. And so
exactly.
Where you can, with Instagram, hit a matrix screen and was it 9-12 pictures in one phone screen, you can start busting through a lot of the images. And I had a conversation with somebody. I said, hey, go to my January 24th site, you know, and you know, lady was had, you know, Mexican American background. I said, go to my January 24th post. Oh my God, you know, Albert Zamora, da da da. Yeah, you know. And so I had some great bilingual material that saved the day. You know what I mean? And I was like, no. I was like, are you kidding me? And so it's pretty interesting. Now, another thing about Instagram, people are a little bit fickle, man. If it's not on that top nine, man, it might as well be buried in the archives. I've kind of noticed, but that's another day. But I think that's great that you guys have an Instagram side. And, you know, from a small business perspective, I was so stoked, you know, one of my big things is I'll have money in my PayPal account, right? And I won't necessarily be able to use that on Amazon because of the competition aspect, right? So I want to use eBay. But back in the day, man, I was one of the OGs on eBay. I thought, I don't want to give feedback. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do all this crap. So eBay, man, just has this thing. I mean, I got on there and I could check out anonymously and use my PayPal. Oh my God. You know what I mean? So I could not anonymously, but as a guest. And so it's like, okay, BC123XY4. It's like my handle on eBay is some long, you know, encrypted Mission Impossible code. But, right. Nobody bothers me, but son of a gun, I can get on there and get fast and free. And half the time Amazon ships it anyway, which is some interesting irony, but, and I'm able to use my PayPal. And, oh, I'm so happy, man. I'm so, anyway.
But it's the little things in life.
Oh, my right? God. Just leave me the fuck alone. Leave me alone. And so let me just buy this in peace, okay? And it comes. And there's no, you know, there's none. I mean, there's a little bit of riffraff, you know, like Sambar has a question on this pencil you bought. Like, no, I'm not answering somebody's follow-up, you know. Well, I would like to know if you're pleased with, like, no, I'm fine. You know, I didn't take it back, so we're good. Leave me alone. But seriously, and I'm not saying that something like Bablet would be something that low key, or it's like a virtually anonymous client. Like, I just want to get this, okay? And can you just, okay, I'll be a customer, but just
stealth mode it. About it.
I just got it, okay? So, no, like you said, because they are the kind of schizoid customer, the asocial customer, you know, that completely, you know, gets in defense mode when, you know, the team comes into the office to do the presentation and you know, I'm not saying that obviously if they wanted to do it, then, you know, they need to be a candidate for your product and they got to be able to endure a demonstration. But, you know, I mean, if there is a segment that can kind of get by with the Bruce Cameron asocial guest on eBay purchase experience,
which is so strange because you're not asocial at all, but well, I guess you are about buying stuff.
Yeah. You're right. I'm not asocial at all, but there is this kind of side to me that, you know, I don't want to do stuff that I don't necessarily want to do, or it's a little bit out of my comfort zone. But yeah, I mean, somebody beat me down recently with Thrive. Have you heard of them?
Oh yeah, they're network marketing.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't know why I said yes. It was a friend of a friend. No, I just let them come by and do a demonstration. I'm just like, oh, there it was. And they came by and they did the demonstration. And nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean? But it's just like, yeah, but I got people cancel and they cancel immediately and I can't go back onto the system. And, you know, now I got to log back, you know, it's just here. You see this? This is liquid paper. You see this? This is a pencil in my hand. So in my fork, you know, just draw a line through it. Here we go. You know, it's a concierge type of deal here. But
So you signed up?
No, absolutely not, man. I'm still binary here, baby. I feel like a beautician with my appointment book. We'll see you at 7, honey. Yeah, no, I'm old school. Keeping it
100. Okay.
No. Keeping it 100 boomer over here.
Okay.
That's fun.
There's boomers that are doing network marketing though, Bruce.
No, man. Yeah. I could probably do something on that platform with the, because you're on what, Yelp and whatever else. But one of the things, one of my service lines is that prison consulting. Like, well, I didn't see anything on Yelp. I'm like, yeah, because everybody's in prison. They can't fucking use Yelp. He's in prison. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So no, that makes no sense for me. I got 5 stars from a pedophile in the federal prison. What? I mean, it makes no sense to me. But anyway, on that service line. Sorry, I digress.
Oh, wow.
didn't mean to train wreck all your great knowledge. No, it's good stuff, man. I can always give the crotchety old guy, let me tell you something, whippersnapper. That doesn't work in this format. Anyway, it does. I mean, it can if you really want it to. And that story thing, man, that is, woo. You know what I'm saying? That captures my interest because that really, you know, my coachy side, obviously, that is just like, you know what I mean? Like that is, that's going to really energize and should really, because in coaching school, no, let me say this, in many coaching schools, they kind of teach you how to do that when you're talking about your coaching practice and your brand of coaching and stuff like that. But I think it falls, it falls short of what you guys are now doing at the corporate level, marketing levels, and man, what a great time to be in advertising, huh? Or public, you know, PR, but what a, you know, it's social, digital marketing and all that, man. What a it's like being a pioneer again, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, know? I mean, it's a good time. It's a good time to be alive, as they say, right? Because we have all the data intelligence at our fingertips. It's just about how we're
using it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, if you could just get wholesale analytics on, which I'm sure somebody's already doing that, you know, get analytics for X, Y, or Z, just like Google ad search terms, you know, oh, that's a high value search term. That's not a high value search term. You know what I mean? How Google kind of, right, could monetize certain search engine strings, right, for Google Ads and AdSense and Ad Express or whatever.
So, domains, you know, yeah. you could look at the same for domains. We were buying some domains last week too. Same sort of thing. Got one for 99 cents. Feeling pretty good about that one.
Okay. and they just reroute to the mothership thing, or
and then just reroute, because you think about it again as part of the branding, right? As you rebrand and tell a different story, there's going to be new keywords, there's going to be new search terms, there's going to be new things that are integrated into part of that story. So obviously, the, you know, buying the domain is a great way to funnel web traffic to it.
But getting that domain to organically index on its own, knowing it's a router, see what I mean? That's going to be a challenge. If you guys are going to be looking to get search engine stuff out of that domain, you know what I mean? Like it'll be there, but I wonder if you guys will be able to pull that off to where it'll index. I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud over here.
You sound like you know a hell of a lot for an executive.
That doesn't work. Coach, I tried that in 95 when it was invented. I'm teasing, man. I did try that stuff in 95, but it was meta tags and all these, you know, meta words and meta tags and attaching, you know, attaching little scripts in corners of the, in corners of the page so that search Yahoo and what is it, Netscape or whatever would pick it up. Woo, that's some back in the day Model T stuff. And so it's it's good to see, you know, man, what a like you said, what a great time to be involved with marketing and those things. And just think, you know, moving forward, how useful this skill set is going to be for you moving forward as an executive, as an entrepreneur, and as a coach. Justin, you're going to be the Renaissance man here for too long.
The Renaissance man. Wow.
The millennial Renaissance man.
Oh boy. You're on a good one today.
Without the Aquaman, without the tattoos and short hair Aquaman.
Oh man, Aquaman. I had the long hair for a while, so I really could have pulled it off if I just would have looked up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that would have been too confusing. You know, what's your brand? That's like for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm a coach.
Yeah, I'm a coach. Sure you are. Oh man. Yeah, we'll save that one for another
day. Chicks love that Aquaman though, don't they? What's up with that? Tell me about that you were going down a storyline of your own earlier there. Path. So I wanna hear it now, because we have a little time left. I want to hear it.
Well, no, I'll tell you that the fun thing about Aquaman is obviously there's a lot of people in my demographic that are coaches, want to be coaches, coach trainers, whatever, and they're moms or single moms or moms with soccer moms, yada yada. But anyway, on many of these ladies' Instagrams, they'll be like Aquaman memes, you know what I mean, or pictures of this guy. I'm like, what? And they'll be like, yeah, kids, let's go to the movies. You know what I mean? Like it's a kind of like soft core porn for the soccer mom. Like she gets that's funny, man. Is this thing being recorded?
Oh my god.
It's so true. Soft core porn for the soccer mom, man. So she gets to go to Aquaman and just stare at this dude, you know, and it's all good, you know. Dad doesn't care, kids are thinking something else, and
you don't think dad cares?
And she's just chugging that Yeti cup full of wine that she's just hauled out of her Louis Vuitton bag and just kidding. It's a joke, huh?
Oh man. Well, I was gonna say, why'd she even haul it out of her purse? Because nowadays you can get one.
Just get it.
You can out here.
Because the kids are there, man. You can't be. You can't have everybody in the cul-de-sac like, hey man, come here. Like the beer guy comes by, like, hey, I need, you know, see. No, you just gotta be on the low there and pull it out of your purse. With the steel straw that's eco-friendly, man, you could use in Cali.
They love those and suck
on that wine through that Yeti and just whew, hope and pray that G-Wagon makes it home, baby, with no police intervention.
Speaking of eco-friendly,
the eco-friendly
Aquaman. What do you think it is about this guy that the soccer moms love so much? Is it the tats? Is it the bod? Is it the dark look with the long hair?
Man, it's just kind of a little bit whiter version of Dwayne Johnson. You know what I mean? The Rock. Here's another guy, and the hey man, nothing against the Rock, man. I mean, props to this guy, right? I mean, worked his way up from wrestling to movies and superstardom, and the guy's just, you know, what are you gonna say? I mean, the guy.
Do you know how much he's worth, by the way?
Like hundreds of millions by now, I would
it's
think.
It's like three. It's like 300 million. I read that the other day.
I mean, and that's not too shabby. The guy, and I like him because he keeps on working and pressing forward. And there's another meme that the soccer moms have of the Aquaman guy. He's fully he's fully clothed. This is so chickish. He's fully clothed, and he's walking somewhere, and he has these two little bitty pencil bodyguards behind him. And I forget what the statement is, like, yeah, right, or something. But anyway, it's kind of funny. This big strapping dude, you know, has these little 150 pound, I'm sure they're they're badasses, but they're 150-pound
Oh, yeah.
Standing behind them, they're probably just strapped up with 50 calibers, you know what I mean? Just blow people out of the water. But anyhow, so a little bit of fun there with my analogy there. Man, we should be getting some, like, a royalty or something, or a residual.
I think so. He definitely should be sending us a paycheck of some sort.
Well, but, look, I'm always interested to see what captivates people, you know what I mean? And this really did a number on a lot of ladies, and you know, probably men too in some segment, but certainly this really was a rally point for a lot of moms, and it's kind of fun just to see how that morphed out on social media. I wouldn't have known, dude, had it not looked at people's social media. There's that dude again. Hey, there's that dude again. Who is that dude? Why are they saying let's go to the movies? Oh, it's a movie called, you see what I mean? I totally went backwards on this thing. Like, oh, it's a movie called Aquaman. Go to my wife. Have you heard of Aquaman? Who hasn't? She said, okay, see, it's a cult thing. It's a little down low. Like, okay, I haven't heard of, well, dang, I'm just out of loop here on the hunky guy zone. So anyway,
there, you know, what we had down in Laguna is we went to sushi, and we had sushi from that was non-soy sauce sushi.
That's good.
So it was, it, you know, you're talking about this eco-friendly thing, and it got me thinking about the sushi I had. That was probably one of the best sushi spots I've ever been to.
Awesome.
because of this. So she first of all, women owned and women only sushi spot. So only women chefs, women waitresses.
Oh,
yeah. Which you would think was a little, but you know, it's progressive for the Japanese culture. Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right. No, it wasn't one of those places, Bruce. It wasn't one of those.
Bernie Sanders popped out and beat you with a whip or something for making it all. Okay, nothing like that. Okay. All right.
No.
Go ahead.
No. No, but all the dishes were, all the soy sauce or the sauces were built into the dishes. Right. Okay. So they didn't serve it with the wasabi, you know, the traditional wasabi and soy sauce, because what she found is when she was testing it, the soy sauce, when you dip, think about it, you dip your roll in the soy sauce. I don't know how much you eat.
We
eat it a lot out here. You know, you dip it in the soy sauce, and then it all tastes kind of the same. Like, you know, a lot of the flavoring gets lost in the soy sauce. And she's like, I worked to design these custom, creatively fused dishes, and now they get lost in translation from the soy sauce. So I just thought that was really interesting, because it's the first time I had ever ate. And at first I was kind of like, this is weird. Why am I not,
it's like the
dipping
ketchup
it? Or
sushi. Yeah, it's the ketchup.
Yeah, sushi. I was like, but it actually was better. And you walk away and you're not like so bloated afterward, which is obviously just the sodium buildup.
Yeah.
So probably healthier for you too.
Yeah.
But I found that kind of interesting.
Very interesting. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. Whew. Man, we just burned through another episode.
Blew through an hour and didn't even think twice about it.
Just like, man, the spitball patrol wins again, man. So yeah, because you know, it's, yeah, I just love hearing about your experiences. And I'm gonna have some experiences here, maybe not. Few weeks I'll be out on the road here and do something worthwhile, but for now it's on you, son.
I'm up for the
that's right,
I'm up for it. I'm up for a dad
through you. That's right. We'll live vicariously through you, and I'll send a CC to, you know who. No, I haven't been in touch with mom and dad, so you'd be proud of me. There's been it's been radio silence, so I've been a very good co-host.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I've been tempted, baby. I've been tempted. Even with sister, I've been very, very quiet. So, all right, Dan. Well, that's another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Please check us out on our various social media sites. Justin, you want to run them down?
Yeah. So for me personally, you can visit nimmergood.com. And for our concierge coaches, we're actually the concierge coaches on Instagram and on LinkedIn and on Facebook, I believe, as well. So the concierge coaches, you can find us on all those different platforms. We'd love to hear from you folks. So reach out, pop us a topic or two, you know, and we'd love to hear from you, and integrate, you know, some of your thoughts and topic ideas into some of our future shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll definitely put holes in it like Swiss cheese. Now we'll actually, yeah, we'll take a look at what you got, and you may even take some callers one day. So, very good, very good. Yes, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And another one down for the book. So, folks, don't forget to check us out on iTunes as well. So this show will be on iTunes here in a little bit, and it'll be archived on the LA Talk Radio site as well. You'll be able to click play or download the show within minutes after the show today, and it'll be there for your listening pleasure. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week, and we'll see you here next time on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.